Good morning. Good morning. It's the 23rd of April, 2024, deep in Easter tide. And I want to talk about something a little bit different this morning. Haven't sitting on the story for a couple of days, and we're going to go over some odd amounts of money being paid to a retired cardinal. That completely violates what the church, what the rules for these things. First thing I want to do, though, is I want to go and talk about kind of the Catholic news that broke yesterday that's causing everyone to kind of to both celebrate and I think at the same time go off the deep end a little bit. So we're going to talk about this. Can't see the whole thing. There. Yesterday, as you probably saw if you spent any time whatsoever on social media, Candace Owens announced that she has officially become Catholic. And this has been an interesting story, and I'm going to give you my thoughts on it briefly before we go to the main news of the day. That reminds me, the Give, Send, Go is at 99%, so I'll be posting the link in the comments once this is done. Thank you all for your very much for your help on this. And as always, as I said yesterday, email me a screenshot or something of your receipt with all the private details covered up. If you did, so I can add you to my early access list that patrons and supporters get. Enough of that stuff, though. So, again, Candace Owens became Catholic. I'm just going to read you her statement here so you can get it for yourself. She said on Twitter, "Recently, I made the decision to go home. There's, of course, so much more that went into this decision and that I plan to share in the future. But for now, praise be to God for his gentle but relentless guiding of my heart toward truth. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I do not fear. Christ is King." Okay, so I have some thoughts on this. The first thought I've had is, this is interesting that we're seeing this tide of public figures and either entering the church or at least very overtly flirting with the idea of becoming Catholic. And praise God for that, and anyone you see in the public sphere doing that, pray for their conversion. Doesn't matter who it is. If they look like they have, they're showing any interest whatsoever, pray for their conversion. Now, the other thing I'm seeing, there are two reactions I've seen to this, really. Well, more than two, but the first we've seen is overt hostility coming from the kinds of folks you would expect. Protestant pastors giving her all the jack chick talking points about why becoming Catholic is a bad idea. Whenever they post those kind of reactions, they're tending to get hit pretty hard on social media for it, and for good reason. The second I'm seeing is, of course, rejoicing from Catholics, which I think is the most right-ordered one. And then there's the third reaction, and I'm not liking this one too much, and it's from Catholics who are expressing their lack of belief in it, their suspicion. Look, in our side of things, in the Great Divide in the Church, we tend to view any news with suspicion. I will say this, however. Until someone who converts to the faith gives you reason that they didn't convert, you should be very happy that they came home to the church. It's as simple as that. You notice that Shia LaBeouf hasn't said much publicly about practicing his faith. That's actually what you kind of want for most of them. Now, that's not the reaction I expect from Candace Owens. She's a very public person and has very strong opinions and is not the kind of person to shy down from the ongoing battles and the culture and things. What every one of these folks who comes into the church should do is pray and follow whatever God's will is for them. You know, there's this joke that we sometimes see that you see online, that the person who becomes Catholic at RCIA, well, right along with the receiving the Eucharist for the first time, is that they're handed a microphone and a camera so they can go start their podcast or cable show. There's a reason that stereotype exists. Most converts should avoid being public about these kind of things. Instead, just pray and do what the will of God leads them to do. For some of them, that means being very public about it and talking about their conversion and being an example for others. But that's not necessary for everybody. So I would hope that she spends time just soaking in being Catholic until that honeymoon phase ends. And then she goes forward and does whatever it is God's calling her to do, which is going to be different than Shia LaBeouf's conversion, probably. That's all I have to say. Don't necessarily distrust someone's conversion until they give you good reason to not trust it, okay? And that's after they've entered the church. That all having been said, let's enough of that. I'm happy that she converted. Heaven rejoices anytime somebody becomes Catholic. What heaven doesn't probably rejoice about, though, are stories like this. So from main story from LifeSite News. Headline. Disgraced Cardinal Wuerl received over $4 million from Archdiocese of Washington since 2020. Cardinal Donald Wuerl continues to receive substantial payments from the D.C. Archdiocese since retiring in disgrace over his mishandling of Ted McCarrick things, though the amounts have declined following media scrutiny. Funny how that works out. So, for those of you who don't know him, Cardinal Wuerl followed Ted McCarrick into the... McCarrick was the Cardinal Archbishop of Washington. Then Wuerl became the Cardinal Archbishop of Washington after McCarrick retired. And he himself retired in like 2018, something like that. When my channel was new back in 2018, I was covering Cardinal Wuerl, things he was saying, because he was one of the highest profile prelates in the church. And even after he retired, we still covered him because it took him a little while to fade into this, to ride off into the sunset. But he's getting paid a tad bit more money than a retired Cardinal Archbishop would, even if you adjust for the cost of living in their communities, like, say, Washington, D.C., which is one of the more expensive places to live for very obvious reasons. So something funny is going on here. And they're being the Archdiocese there is being very, very hush on this, as we will see from Mr. Michael Haynes' reporting. It's from the article, quote, retired Archbishop of Washington, Cardinal Donald Wuerl, has received over $4 million from the Archdiocese for his, quote, continuing ministry activities since 2020. According to financial records published by the Archdiocese of Washington, Wuerl has continued to receive substantial payments from the Archdiocese ever since he retired from leadership of the diocese. Outlining the distribution of funds received from donors, which came, quote, without donor restrictions, the Archdiocese of Washington's Central Pastoral Administration recorded the following figures for the continuing ministry activities for Archbishop Emeritus. So 2023, last year, he received $145,000. Prior to that, $278,000. The year before that, $1.8 million. The year before that, $2 million. And in 2019, $1.4 million. Put an asterisk next to 2019. You'll see why. Wuerl succeeded ex-Cardinal Ted McCarrick in holding the see from June 2006 until October 2018, retiring 3 years after he submitted his mandatory resignation letter at 75. It's worth noting here, a cardinal can submit their, they are required, all bishops are required to submit their resignation at 75. They submit it to the Pope. The Pope is free to respond by accepting it, to thus saying, formally retiring the person, or he can just ignore it and let them continue on as needed. He kept going for 3 years. Francis kept Wuerl there for 3 years. Prior to that, he was Bishop of Pittsburgh from 1988 until 2006. He continued an apostolic administrator of the Archdiocese of Washington until then Archbishop Wilton Gregory assumed the see in May 2019. So, May 2019, so about halfway through the year. Those retirement payments constitute... 7 months. Good work if you can get it. With 2020 being the first full year of his retirement, Wuerl has thus amassed $4.3 million from 2020 through 2023 inclusive. We don't know anything about 2024 yet. And then, you know, Michael Haynes on Twitter kind of put all that stuff together. So there are rules for this, how much a retired bishop gets. These numbers are really funny. In 2022, the USCCB issued guidelines. Retired bishops are supposed to get $1,900 at least per month and then adjusted annually according to cost of living index. $1,900 minimum per month. I would assume retired bishops in, say, New York City get a bit more than that. I would assume that in my dioceses here in Oklahoma, they probably are getting at least $1,900. I would be surprised if any diocese didn't give them more than that. I'm not a big believer that bishops should be, you know, collecting vast amounts of wealth or anything. But 1900 seems a little light for me. Now, you can make the case, and a very good case, for how they should all just essentially live in poverty, and that would be fine. A good case can be made for that on a spiritual level. But this seems, you know, a little light, but not so light as we need to be giving them hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, especially when they're, in addition to that, they also get They also receive housing and board, meaning their food and shelter, their health benefits, a secretary. They get a personal secretary as a retired bishop, a car and motor insurance. And again, something worth noting here. Retired bishops will often still offer chrism masses, or they will still offer to, they will still travel to go to around the diocese to do the confirmations and those sorts of things as an agent of the new bishop. They will do this as the bishop emeritus. They're still a bishop. They can still do these things, and they still have authority, this time delegated from the acting bishop of the diocese. So they're still usually doing kind of that kind of thing, which is why the Archdiocese of Washington was able to put this as ongoing ministry things. Now, the question is, was he doing that? So in the article goes on saying, in 2015, the late Catholic journalist George Neumeyer of the American Spectator discovered that Wuerl was living in a penthouse in Embassy Row in Our Lady, Queen of the Americas Parish. That's kind of a weird place for the Archbishop to be living. There's usually a rectory attached to a cathedral. The complex itself was valued at nearly $43 million in 2016. Neumeyer commented that, quote, in these supposed days of modesty under Francis, he, Cardinal Wuerl, remains the prince of Embassy Row. They don't really know where he's living now, but Mr. Haynes actually asked that Archdiocese of Washington what happened, what's the nature of the ongoing ministry work, why he's receiving this kind of money, and they've gotten no response whatsoever. Mr. Haynes took this to the U.S. Nunciature. That's the nuncio is the Vatican's ambassador to the United, to the bishops of the United States, and will also be the kind of the point of contact normally for between the Vatican and the U.S. government. And Cardinal Pierre replied simply, Cardinal Wuerl is the retired emeritus Archbishop Washington. He lives in Washington. And that was their response when, that was his response when asked about Wuerl's ministry. In fact, they even tried to get contact Wuerl. Cardinal Wuerl had nothing to say on the matter, because of course not. That's Gregory in the chat says, human nature, the people protect their own. What does this say about our current leaders? Maybe they gave him Cardinal Burke's retirement. I mean, who knows, right? Who knows? This is what we're talking about, though. George Neumeyer, that was him. He told Taylor Marshall what happened to Neumeyer. Well, George Neumeyer is not with us anymore. Pray for the repose of his soul, by the way. Although, pretty sure his was just a natural passing, given that he chose to travel to a very less than safe place just from health perspectives. I've heard some experts talk about his case, and it may have been on the up and up, but who knows? These days, who knows? I dismiss no possibility. Right. So that's one thing here. And then we get this. I've been sitting on this story because I didn't really know how to present this to you, but this one is, I have an update on that art story from Italy, from Lent, probably for tomorrow. I almost thought about including this in there, but there are limits. So just quickly talk about this. Headline from Info Vaticana, which is out of Spain. Controversy in the Canary Islands over an exhibition of Redacted with nuns and virgins inside. Pray for the person who thought this was a good idea. Spanish Foundation of Christian Lawyers request the Administrative Litigation Court of Las Palmas de Gran Canaria to prevent the inauguration of the exhibit Poetics of Desire. What an interesting name for that. Considering that it violates a fundamental right to religious freedom, which is part of the Spanish Constitution. So you now have another case where a secular artist is mocking the faith and with public approbation. Don't be surprised by the public loving this stuff. It's that this keeps happening. In Italy, the laity had had enough. Maybe here in Spain, they will too. I just hope if they express themselves in a way that's appropriate and doesn't cause more problems for the church. But this story is one of those that you look at it and you just go, who thought this was a good idea? When I showed this to my wife, she was able to identify a couple of the saints here, including Our Lady, and I believe Saint Therese. pray for the person who made this to have their conscience illuminated and from the repentance for them, please. So this is the article. Requests very precautionary measures within the framework of contentious administrative appeal. The opening of the exhibition is scheduled for this afternoon. That would have been 5 days ago at the city's Plastic Arts Center, dependent on the Department of Culture of the Canary Islands government. The exhibition by artist Jose Luis Luzardo includes works in which the Virgin, saints, and even the Pope are presented inside redacted, made of glass. So he actually took the time to make these things, representations of these things, out of glass, instead of using just something he could buy at any corner store, presumably there, like anywhere else in the Western world. A lot of thought and effort went into this. This wasn't a flight of fancy, a snap decision, right? This was planned out. A lot of effort went into this. The organization of jurists considers that the exhibition is an offense to the religious feelings of Christians. The president of Christian lawyers, Poland Castellanos, considers it, quote, intolerable that an activity that attacks the feelings of a large part of society is financed with public money. It seems that everything is allowed against Christians. Public institutions have the duty of neutrality. It's always left-wing governments that finance and promote these type of activities. Wonder why that is. The exhibition, Poetics of Desire, is financed and organized by the Cabildo Gran Canaria and is part of an exhibition program with 13 artists and multiple and heterogeneous proposals with a variety of languages and techniques, which can be visited at the Plastic Arts Center of the Gran Canarian Palms. The author of this atrocious work is Jose Luis Luzardo, justifying in statements to Antenna 3, that's a television station, putting virgins in the objects, quote, because religion says that you get the idea. He starts talking about how we are supposed to he objects to practicing chastity in accordance to our state of life, which is what the church always teaches. And of course, he's focusing on women in this because they always do, and how that, you know, people should preserve themselves for holy matrimony. Then he's, you know, making a political statement by putting saints inside of these objects because there's no safer place to put them, because of course he thinks that. He justifies what he's doing by calling it freedom of expression, since the church also says its things and says them because it has freedom of expression. How cute. How very, very, very cute. You know, what caught me off guard about this story is that it happened after Lent. Lent is when this stuff happens. Always, every year. For those of you who've been watching this channel for past several years, every year for the past at least 3 years, I've had the unfortunate duty of telling you about evil things happening during Lent, usually in form of art in parishes or cathedrals or in public museums mocking the faith. It's as predictable as fast food chains offering a fish sandwich during Lent. It happens that regularly. It's almost as if they are planning it, which in the fast food world, they have to because of supply chains and logistics and things. The same kind of thing applies, though, to what you're seeing in the art world. GW says art is no longer about elevating the soul, but about causing shock. That is exactly right. There's some YouTubers, culture commentators who point out that there is still beautiful art being made, but it's never promoted. That the work of the classicists, all the great classical artists who worked in painting and who worked in sculpture in the Renaissance and before, there are heirs to that work who are doing amazing things. And yes, they get displayed in some museums, but they never get the promotion that this stuff does, ever. Paintings that are done by hand that are almost photorealistic, sculptures that look like that are practically photorealistic, done by human hands, done by someone with a love for the human form and for nature, and probably with some sort of religious inclination, judging from some of these pieces. Those artists never get promoted. This stuff always does, without fail. Be glad the Filet-O-Fish beat out the pineapple burger. Yeah, that sounds revolting. Well, not revolting. It just sounds like, why? And let me guess, it'd be pineapple and cheese, which is a weird combination anyway. All right, folks, let me see if there's any final thoughts here. I do want to see if what people had to say really in the chat here about my opening remarks about celebrities becoming Catholic. I'm very curious what people have to say. Not much though, but yeah, in general, I'll repeat this. Miriam's asking how my wife is. Well, she's asleep right now, but she's fine. She's, you know, second trimester at this point, but she's fine. But I do want to reiterate this. When a public figure becomes Catholic, pray for their conversion, pray that they stay the course, pray that they find a life, that they find, you know, the full richness of the faith, but also that they follow whatever God's will is on what they do with that afterwards, because public figures have additional crosses they carry in with a lot of this. And for some, it's definitely okay. It's definitely better that they speak about the faith publicly than perhaps it is for others. So that's kind of my main takeaway, but let's hope that not every one of them becomes a mascot, and let's give them a chance to prove their, you know, to demonstrate their Catholicity before people start condemning certain ones of them that they don't particularly like becoming Catholic. Frank Ryan says, well, glad to see celebs converting. Beware the retaliation from the demons and their minions in power. Absolutely. That's why you should pray for them to stay the course. Hope she's going to be a good Catholic and not a Nancy Catholic. That is also true. Her inclinations are, don't strike me, she's going to be doing that. Raven Ray reminds us that today is St. George's feast day, patron of England. Yes, so yeah, happy St. George's Day to those watching from the UK. Otherwise, we're going to wrap this up. If there's any final thoughts in the chat, this is your time to get them in. Very curious to see what anybody might have to say on this, especially about Cardinal Wuerl. Good old Cardinal Wuerl. What did Russell do? He's praying the rosary publicly right now. He's also doing some other stuff that people are kind of worried about. So if you watch what he does online, respond in the comments appropriately to, you know, positively reinforce him coming to the church, and keep them in your prayers. That's what you should do. Whoever it is. If some public figure that you have no love for whatsoever converts, pray for them. Pray for the conversion of some of the folks out there who we have no reason to believe are on the road to conversion. That's what we're called to do. Matthew asks other stuff. I think yoga or tarot cards or something. I don't know. I don't pay that much attention to them. I just remember reading some of it in passing a couple days ago. That's why people need to give them positive reinforcement and politely, correctly, you know, be like, hey, you know, this stuff is not compatible. All right, folks, thanks very much for tuning in. And as always, pray for the church. I'm Anthony Stein. Ave Maria.